Well, hello and welcome to Living with Dying, the podcast where we try to talk about everything to do with death and dying. And today I'm really delighted to be joined by Ginny Hackett, who started something called Bucket List Wishes. Fascinating title. Ginny, would you like to tell me how this began for you?
Yes. So in 2012, my mum was diagnosed with terminal cancer very suddenly. She hadn't been poorly. We were very shocked that she was only given 3 months to live. It had got to stage four. It was quite an aggressive form of cancer, and it was in four of her organs when they found it. I literally got the news and I rushed off to the shop. I went to WH Smith and I bought a pen and a very brightly covered book, and I took it straight back to my siblings at the hospital with my mum, and I said, right, we can like cry about this and not do anything for 3 months, or we can make a bucket list and we can write down, mum, everything you want to do. And I'm really fortunate that I'm self-employed. My sister's a teacher, so she was off in that summer, and I've got a younger brother, and then my other brother's disabled. So between us, we were able to tick off these things that she really wanted to do. So she had things on there, like she wanted one last holiday with her sister. So she was one of nine and she had four lovely sisters. Every couple of years, they used to go on holidays together. So she wanted to do that. She wanted to take my children, her youngest grandchildren, to Panto, because we always did Panto. So she really was trying to work towards little milestones of Christmas and things like that. And we made a list. Some things were very, very simple, like she wanted to put flowers on her mum and dad's grave in Bristol, where she grew up, and she wanted to visit the home that her and her nine siblings grew up in. So I did actually have to knock on the door of the man that bought my grandparents' house off them. He was an elderly gentleman. He was a bit shocked by me just turning up on his doorstep. But with the help of his neighbour, we explained my mum's circumstances, and he was very lovely. And it was a really special moment, actually, for me to be with my mum in Bristol in this family home, which I'd never seen or been to before, where my grandparents lived. And she showed me where her dog was buried and how all of them slept in these, you know, two tiny rooms in a couple of beds. And, you know, it was a really special moment. And without writing the bucket list with her, we wouldn't have had those moments and those memories. So after she died, I work in the wedding and event industry, so I have to be happy quite a lot of the time. And I'm quite a positive person anyway, but I found it really hard losing my mum. And she was, you know, a big part of our lives, and she was, you know, helped me work, enabled me to work with my children and looked after them and things like that. So after she died, I was driving in my car. I can remember it really clearly in 2013. She died in 2013. She got her diagnosis in 2012. But what we did find was it gave her a little bit of extra time actually doing the bucket list. But once she had passed, I was driving to work to do a wedding, and her funeral song came on, and I felt really, really sad, and I was really, really crying, because grief can, you know, hit you at all different times, and sometimes you can't control it, and sometimes it's just a few tears, but sometimes it's, you know, it's really hard, and it can be a bit more than a few tears. And I remember it really clearly. As I got to the venue, I thought, oh gosh, I've got to be really happy now for the next few hours. And I feel really, really sad. And then I remembered something on her bucket list, and that made me laugh. And I went from slightly crying hysterically to really laughing. And then as I did my work, I came out, I sat back in my car, and I thought, do you know what? That is actually a slight tonic with grief. That actually, if you can have positive memories in the last weeks or months or year of somebody's life, that can actually get you through your grief. But not only that, we just did so many things we'd never have done without the bucket list that we wrote. And she kept adding to it, and she'd say, oh, I thought of something else. And we'd say, oh, okay, mum, you know. And she kept adding to it, and she crossed things off and crossed things off and crossed things off. So I just felt that I wanted to do that for other people. And there's lots of lovely, amazing children's charities. I always say we're a bit like Make-A-Wish, but for grown-ups. Mm-hmm. But there are four times as many terminally ill adults as there are children. Mm-hmm. And there's over 200 charities that do brilliant work with children, and absolutely, I'm a mum, you know, and I advocate that they are all amazing, doing amazing work. But there's only three of us in the UK, and each of us do different areas. So we often, and this week alone, we've had 15 applications in out of area. So
out of the area.
Out of the area.
How many in the area?
Yeah. So you can't. What you can't do is we all have our own area. So we do try and pass them on as much as we can to others, if we can. But there are lots of areas that aren't covered in the UK for wishes. On average, we get anything from 10 to 50 applicants a week. So it can be, but some of them can be from abroad. We have quite a lot in the US that think that we're a US-based charity. And we're like, no, we're in the UK, but you've got your own. So we do signpost them on as much as we can. Sometimes we have to send them on to Macmillan to say, look, find a charity or some sort of funding in your area to see if you can get a grant to do the things that you want. We do UK-based wishes, so we don't send anybody abroad, but they can do anything in the UK. They just have to live within a radius of Berkshire. So it's kind of this side of Bath, this side of Oxford, this side of Southampton, this side of London, because there is one that does London and Kent. So they have to be over 19. So 19 and over, because Make-A-Wish do up to 18, and Teenage Cancer Trust, who are also brilliant, do up to 18, but there's not really much afterwards. And we don't have an age limit. So we've done a wish for 90-year-old Eric, as well as 19-year-old Aaron. So we have quite a broad range of ages.
So I'm inevitably going to ask you, what kinds of wishes have you fulfilled?
I mean, wow. So that's the question. Are we going to be here all day? So why don't I go through some of the very popular ones are football ones. So we have lots of people that love sporting ones, football, Formula One, boxing, all that kind of things. And then we have animal ones. So people do love animals, big cats, rhino experiences, meerkats. We've done lots of zoo experience where you can have, you know, one-to-ones with penguins and feed them and things like that. So they are very popular generally. We do also have the celebrity side of things, where people have big heroes or thing, you know, celebrities or artists that mean something to them. So we've been very fortunate to have the support and done wishes with Sir Rod Stewart, Lionel Richie, Hollywood actor Ryan Reynolds. That was a huge wish that went viral for Jay. And the idea of those wishes is that quite often they're, you know, really passionate about football, or the music means something to them. So they like to see them live in concert, and then we try and arrange meets and greets and things. We also do video messages. So we've had lovely teams from like Coronation Street and Emmerdale and Ant and Dec and things like that. And Paul O'Grady did the most amazing video message for us during COVID, because obviously we had to change wishes and how we did things and what we did, because everybody was vulnerable within our field. But I really distinctively remember Paul O'Grady doing the most amazing video message. And actually, we did have a lady who was completely crazy about Alan Shearer. Her application, her children filled out for her, and it actually said she loves him more than she loves us, which we found really fun. But when they gave her all of her wish stuff, she had to have it at home because she got poorly. Including the video message from Alan, who was just lovely. They actually recorded her watching the video. Oh, and now those children, you know, have got that forever. The joy and the excitement, I can remember really clearly. And it's nice for us as volunteers as well to sort of, you know, watch somebody get, you know, get the things that we've worked hard to sort of get them. Yeah, but they've got that forever. So when they miss their mum and they feel sad and they think about her, rather than thinking about, you know, funeral plans or pain or hospital appointments or the fact that they're going to leave their loved ones early, we try and give them some joy in what is quite a dark time.
So you've described some very big, momentous things, but I guess a lot of people want something small and
very simple. So this weekend we've got a lovely wish, and sometimes the simpler ones are easier to organise and fund, but also are just as, you know, just as important. So we're granting our 172nd wish in 11 years this weekend for Clive. Clive is taking his loved one and her daughter. He just wants to go to the seaside for the weekend. So he actually said his wish was he'd like to have a trip to the seaside, one final trip to the seaside. And that can be quite popular. And quite often, if people don't live near the seaside, when they are unwell, it's the logistics. Sometimes it's not the money in the organising, it's the logistics of getting them to the seaside safely and things like that. So we work with a lot of chauffeurs and hospital transport and limos and, you know, great companies that can get them there safely. So Clive will be going to Bournemouth for the weekend. We've got some lovely treats. He's a very big fan of Tottenham, so we've got loads of lovely Tottenham gifts for him in his Wish Care package, which he'll get on his Wish. They'll be able to have breakfast and lunch and things like that. We're going to send them on the Bournemouth wheel so that they can have that experience, and take them also to the aquarium so that they can see the animals and things. And it will just be a fun, relaxing, enjoyable weekend. We've hired him a mobility scooter, so he's not in a wheelchair, but he's not able to walk too far and he's in quite a lot of pain, so this will enable him to get around Bournemouth for the weekend. And yeah, and his personal chauffeur will collect him and then pick him back up again, and he'll be there for a couple of weekends. And we fully organise and fund and make sure that every part of that, they literally just get picked up and dropped back home, and every part of it is organised. But it's also got lots of nice, like, there's a pool in the hotel, so he can really enjoy being relaxed and also take his mind away from, you know, the fact that he's poorly.
Sounds fabulous.
That will be our 172nd wish.
Your 172nd
wish. Yes, so that's granted. What we've granted 172 wishes in 11 years. We're a team of volunteers. I don't do this on my own.
I'm just going to ask about that. It sounds like there's lucky. A hell of a lot of work involved.
There is, and we've got really clever with the formulas and building up a really good contacts list of businesses and companies that we regularly use. The idea is that we're all volunteers. So what that means is, if you give me a pound, I can trace that donation from where that is going to go, because all of our costs get covered annually by a donation, which means that the charity costs are covered. So that means that all of the volunteers that are involved, who all have families, all have pets, have full-time jobs, but they donate their time and skills each week or monthly to basically help us fundraise money to then grant and organise the wishes. So it's a two-part sort of volunteer basis. We do a big annual fundraiser every summer, which is at the lovely Highfield Park in Heckfield. That lovely venue donates it to us for our event, and we have a big music outdoor festival there every year, and that basically helps us fund the wishes for that part of the year. And then we work hard really every month. We do all kinds of things. We do some networking, we do some raffles, we do online bits. We've got a few businesses that do raffles within their business for us and raise money regularly. We've also got a dress space where every 3 months we hold dress sales. So wedding dresses, prom dresses, day dresses. We get all of those donations from various places, and then we sell affordable dresses, and all of the money from those dress sale days and also our vintage page now do go to the charity, and we can trace everything. So when we fundraise doing an event like the festival, this year we raised enough to grant 4.5 wishes, which is an amazing, you know, amount in one day. Obviously there's lots of work and lots of volunteers, which we're very grateful for, but all of our volunteers have all lost somebody, so they know how our wish families feel and the path that they're going to have to take. So they're very passionate about being involved. And we've all got our own skills and, you know, designated sort of jobs and stuff. And yeah, it's actually very enjoyable. A lot of people say, oh, you know, I met somebody this morning for the first time, and she asked about the charity, and then she looked a bit sad. And I said, you know, don't look sad. We're actually doing something really lovely, because for Jay's children, who, you know, who I use as an example, Jay was a really big fan of football, and he watched the Wrexham series where they had been bought out by the American Hollywood actors, and then he watched the first series whilst he was having all of his final treatment. So it became something important to him, and he's a big football fan, and his favourite actor is Ryan Reynolds. So for Jay's family, for Jay's children and Jay's wife, they all went to Wrexham, they watched the championship game, they stayed there, they met Ryan Reynolds, he gave him a Deadpool glove which was signed, and there's lots of details on our website and loads of photos and things. But now, after Jay passed, which was just about 6 weeks after his wish, his children, who were, you know, young teenagers, have got that memory forever. And when they look back at that time, that is the thing that they remember, you know, that's the positive that they remember. And they're both, and also his wife, are very big champions of us and very, you know, supportive and stuff, and go on to do sort of help and things where they can. But yeah, they did a lovely video which is on our social media, which just tells you, you know, exactly what our charity means to the people. And that's the idea. It is definitely for the person that's poorly, but it is to create a memory for the loved ones they one day leave behind.
I'm so impressed, and I can see exactly why you're so successful, because you're so enthusiastic about it.
I am, yes. I do. I just think that if you can turn something which is really difficult to lose somebody, whether they're 19 or 90, they're always going to be somebody's loved one. And whether you know, if you can do something positive in that time, then that's hopefully the memory that you remember, and you can have that, and we can give you that, and that, you know, that's ideally what we want to see.
I first met you at the BBC Make a Difference Awards, where you were
yes,
a winner.
Yes, you did. I was.
And I can see why. I
mean, well, I was very surprised, A, by the nomination, but actually it wasn't just for me, it was for all the lovely volunteers that take part in Bucket List Wishes, because, you know, they all generously give up their time and their skills to us to enable us, or can do it without them. We recently did a lovely party for Linda. We just lost Linda this week, so we're very sad for her family. But Linda wanted to just be with her family one last time, all of them. So I think initially she thought she was just going to have a few, but, you know, 65 people turned up for Linda, and we had this amazing party with live music and a magician and winter afternoon tea and lovely treat boxes, and, you know, a photographer and a big, you know, big balloon wall with a sparkly backdrop. So we've got some amazing photos. And then Linda sadly passed away just, you know, a couple, 2.5 weeks after her wish. But I remember at the end of her wish, helping her into it. She was in a wheelchair, and helping her into her wheelchair transport that we'd booked. And she said, she took my hand and she said, "Do you know what? I've had the best afternoon of my life." Oh. And I thought, this is literally, Linda, I need you to like do that on the video, because if I could show everybody how happy you are. And we've got some beautiful photos of her, and, you know, what it really meant to her, then, you know, then it would be, my job would be a lot simpler. But yeah, she had the most amazing time. And we've got some beautiful photos that without that party, her family would never have. And now they've got those forever. So I think, and that's for all the generations, because she had lots of grandchildren and great-grandchildren there as well at the party. So, yeah, that will be really meaningful.
When you say you organise it for her, do you fix up everybody's travel arrangements?
No, so what happens is, we sorted out Linda. We sent a hair and makeup artist there as well to get her glamorous and ready for the day, ready for her party. But we organise every element, so food, entertainment, the space. We transformed, you know, a big village hall, made sure there was enough parking and that sort of thing. And then we sent out invitations. So we gave her an invitation to say, please come to my party. And then she was allowed to invite anybody that she wanted. So and then we fully catered for it. And then we also gave her a lovely wish package full of treats and things. In our wish package, we are very thoughtful, and the girls are really thoughtful in things that will help you with your end of life, whether that's a, you know, lovely warm knitted blanket, some pillow spray, candles, anything relaxing, but equally something that's going to treat you at a time when you need a bit of pampering. So we always put things like that in there. And she loved that. She loved going through all her bits and pieces the next day. So yes, she will be very fondly remembered by lots of people.
You obviously get very involved with your customers, if I can call them that. And so I'd quite like to take you back to what you said earlier on about the person who said it seems rather a sad thing to do. You've got an element of sadness and joy mixed up together, I guess, haven't you?
Yeah, I think I feel sad because I know that what it's like to lose somebody, but I think because I know what the wishes will mean once that person's passed, they almost take on a slightly different meaning. At the time, it's very lovely to enjoy. So I can think about a recent wish, which was our 170th wish, which was for JJ. So we took him, his best friend, his daughter and JJ's daughter to McLaren. So we had the most amazing experience at McLaren, possibly one of the best wishes we've done in all of the time we've done them, because it was just incredible. So we took them to the McLaren. He's a huge Formula One fan, never missed a race, planned his life and his annual year around the races, even holidays, we were told, by his daughter. So was a huge fan of Formula One. McLaren is his team. He's followed them, been a dedicated fan. He's been to some of the races, but what he really wanted to do was go to the factory where they make them. So we sent him along there, and he had hoped to go there himself, but then he sadly took a bit of a turn. He was wheelchair bound, so then they couldn't get him to the place. But we've got lovely contacts with the transport and ambulance crew locally, so what we were able to do was make sure that he was also safe while he was there. So he had the most amazing time. He even had a personal video message from Oscar and Lando from the Texas Austin track, which they've recorded for him, which was incredible to see. Lots of signed goodies, and McLaren really genuinely looked after him thoroughly. And we've invited the McLaren team and the workers that looked after him to our festival as our VIP guest next year to say thank you. But they and McLaren were amazing. But now that JJ's passed, and it was just a few weeks after, his daughter will have that memory of JJ forever. And just the joy that it gave him in his last days, he was, you know, still talking about it, you know, really close to his death and things as well. So it also gives them joy and comfort. And, you know, that I think that's why I don't find it as sad, because I know what it will do for the family later as well.
You know what it means.
Yeah, exactly. Know exactly what it means, and exactly, you know, it kind of takes it on his own sort of legs really afterwards, and it becomes this, you know, really special moment, you know, for Linda's family, for all, you know, all of the families that we keep in touch with. A lot of the families as well, we're very fortunate that they go on to sort of help and support other wishes and things. Linda gave us a donation. She went to the bank and said, I want to give a donation and help somebody. So Linda's actually helping us fund Clive's wish this weekend, which is really lovely because she's passed this week. So it's, you know, it has an amazing sort of knock-on effect.
Sort of circular.
Yeah,
thing.
It does. Yeah, yeah. And I think when you're terminal, you know, I think you have a different element of knowing what it's like for somebody else, you know? I think that comes across in, you know, in how Linda was desperate, and she made her daughter go to the bank and say, I want to do this donation. And I was like, you know, you don't, that's not why we do it. We don't do it for that. But she really, really wanted to. So that was very nice. So we could do that in her memory this week for a client. So.
And it started with your mother
it
and
did,
your
yeah.
initial inspiration about getting a pen and paper and something to write down with. But do you find you're kind of carrying your mother's memory with you as you do all this?
Yeah. So what I do is I always say we grant every wish in memory of the people that the volunteers have lost. So we have one of our lovely volunteers who lost her sister, another volunteer who lost both her parents, our photographer lost his first wife. So all of us, when we are involved with the wishes and the charity, and whether it's from the organising, the fundraising, or actually physically helping with the wish, there's sort of three elements to it. All of us feel like we're doing it for the loved ones that we've lost. So I always think about, you know, my mum as we're doing it. I think, oh, she'd like, you know, she'd like this one, or she'd be really proud that we've done this. Or, you know, sometimes we've, you know, getting to meet Ryan Reynolds is a challenge and Lionel Richie and things like that. So sometimes it's a lot of volunteer hours and it's a lot of work, and there's a, you know, a lot behind the scenes that sort of go on, and the girls work really hard to help with granting the wishes. But then when we achieve it, you know, it's amazing, and we're, you know, very fortunate that, you know, we can do that.
And I imagine you've got a lot of goodwill because people see you coming and think, oh well, this is all in such a good cause.
It is, but what's really good to let you know is that we always ask if we can have a charity rate. So for example, we try and use local businesses where possible. So we'll contact the local chauffeur company and we'll say, we just need your best charity rate. It's all paid. Each wish costs us approximately, we spend up to £2,000, but on average they cost between £1,500 and £2,000 per wish. So what we do is we budget that and spread it all out to the elements that we need. The Ryan Reynolds one was a bit more expensive. So if we have that circumstance, then we fundraise that week or the couple of weeks before to put the extra in, to have the extra things that we need like transport was quite far and things like that. So that's possible. But on average, it's £1,500 to £2,000 a wish. And that's what we spend. So when we go to the businesses, we don't ever ask for anything for free. We ask them if they can do the best charity rate. And we always thank all the companies and local businesses on social media and on our website as a thank you credit to say, thank you for being involved in, you know, this wish for Linda or for Clive. And we give them a bit of a shout out to say thank you, because they do all do it, you know, with the intent that they're helping us do something really special.
But I bet they're pleased to do it, aren't they?
They are, yeah, yeah, yeah. We have, yeah, we're very lucky. And sometimes we do have to say, oh, that's not within the budget. Please, can we have a bit of, you know, a bit of a lower rate? And they say, yeah, because of what you're doing. So, yeah, we are very, very fortunate to have lots of brilliant support.
I wouldn't say it's fortunate exactly. I would say it's largely to do with your energy. You're so full of this. And I imagine you inspire all of them.
Yeah, well, I try to. I try to, because I think, you know, as you know, I think it's a bit of a taboo subject, dying and terminal illness and things like that. And everybody's at different stages of that, you know, whether you're at the beginning part of the diagnosis or you're partway through the journey or you're close to the end. Quite a lot of our wish families are, wish people and their families are at the end of that sort of journey. And I just think it's good to do something positive with that time. I would encourage people highly to do their bucket list when they're well and when they're young and not when they retire and not when they get sick. So that would be something I would definitely love to share and say, you know, write the things down and do them while you're well. But equally, if you find yourself in the circumstances where you do have a loved one or a friend who is diagnosed with a terminal illness, making a bucket list can A, give you some positive focus, and B, it can give them a bit of extra time. My mum was diagnosed with 3 months to live and she lived for 11 and a half months. So that's a lot of extra time that we had. And I genuinely believe it's because she kept adding to her bucket list and trying to get to those little milestones. She was quite poorly towards the end. She was in a wheelchair and she had oxygen and things. But we still made the most of, you know, getting her out and getting her to do the things that she wanted to on her list.
Ginny Hackett, thank you so much for talking to me. That's so inspirational. And I hope it encourages people to think about this bucket list well in advance.
Yes, thank you.
Death is never easy, but there are ways we can help each other through it. And if you've found any of these episodes helpful, please think about liking and sharing. And if you can help spread the word by telling just one other person, thank you. And a huge thanks to Joe Barrett, without whom these podcasts would simply not be possible. You can contact us on hello@livingwithdying.co.uk.